If you take the example quickly of, let's say, someone that has a business and is overly busy with something and say, why can't you delegate it? Because no one can do it better than me. But why no one can, no, nobody can do it better than you? Oh, because I'm really good at it. But why are you really good? Because I did spend the time and I've learned it. Oh, so nobody did that in the world? Like there's always something you're gonna get to the bottom of as by asking those whys. I might just start because there's two main things that I'm particularly interested in lately and discovering and learning. And one of them is how people likes to feel busy. Because I keep meeting with people that they always say and complain that they're so busy, right? They work so much. They work 7 days. They work 6 days, and there's nothing they can do. They have to work that much. This is the myth that I've learned over the past couple of years, but I did that mistake too. Actually, COVID kind of helped me to realize that because before I thought I was busy. And when suddenly everyone went home and they figured out how to work without me, I was not busy from a day to another. It's been that fast. So, and I think that I'm really believing that people, entrepreneurs, they want to stay busy because they like the feeling. They just like the feeling, but they don't need to. They feel they need to. They feel they have to. They feel they must do, but it's not necessary. It's really not necessary. I'm sure we can go deeper on the subject, but for example, a few years ago, I heard Gary Vee saying that 80% of someone is better than 100% of you. And that really got my attention, that saying. As well as I remember reading a book from Brian Tracy saying, it doesn't matter. I know you're really good at bringing the garbage back to the street, right? You're really good at it. You're the best because they get it on time. They're positioned very well on the street. But at the end, what is the goal? You know, the goal is to put the garbage bag on the street so the truck can get them when he passes. But does it really has to be you? Does it really has to be you? And most, if not all, entrepreneurs that you see and complains that they're too busy, they really look, I mean, most of them are, they like how they look. They like the significance of it. They like to feel useful. And it's okay. I'm not being judgmental. I'm just saying that when you I'm just saying that basically if your need is to be busy, that's totally cool. Just don't lie to yourself saying that you have to, you have no choice, no one else can do the job. That's how I see it. And that's I remember hearing someone saying that person needed to work on a Sunday, and that's what triggered me to talk to you about that subject because that's bullshit.
And you see it online all the time. Like you see, including myself, like I'll post that I'm working on a Sunday, that I'm hustling, and that hustle culture that not it's not always maybe truthful. Like I think the intent is there. Like they
That's
want
fine.
to work hard and show that they're working hard. But to your point, when you realize that, wow, you from one day to the next, you weren't busy at all, that how were you moving the needle? Were you growing the business? Were you doing those things?
Yeah, the moving the needle is a big thing. It's really a big thing. There's no problem with someone that really likes being very busy in this business. It's no issue. Does it move the needle towards your goal? That is a real question you should be honest about. If it doesn't, then it becomes an escapism. Right? So for the first few years of my life, it's of my life, of my carry life, let's say, I wasn't good at delegating.
You wanted to do it all yourself.
Yeah, because I was doing always it well. But also, one thing that I realized is I like a lot certainty. I like to be in control. I like to know it's going to be done.
So it's hard for you to give up control.
Yeah, and I don't like surprises. I don't like not being in control of a situation that stresses me. And that realization is just being honest with myself.
So why is it important for entrepreneurs to give up control? Like, not completely, but to your point, like, and I love the analogy that Brian Tracy that you brought up, like bringing the garbage bag, and it brings that, like, not everything, you don't have to touch everything. You don't have to do every single aspect.
Well, if I had to restart a new business, it obviously you need to do everything at the beginning. And I do recommend that you try and experience all positions within your company, all of them. Like, never, I would never hire, unless it's extremely difficult, like a doctor, I would never hire someone
self-trained doctor.
Exactly. I would never hire someone that I have no clue what this person is doing.
Mm.
Like, I need to know. I need to be ready. I need to understand that person. It's not just to protect me, but I need to understand. It's to be fair with that person as well. You need to understand what is this person going through. That's one of the reasons why a lot of companies are failing with having their development teams, is because the upper management have no clue what they're doing. They have no clue, not only what they don't know what they're doing, but they don't understand what they're doing. You know, when their dev comes to them and explain an issue and try to foresee a potential issue, they have no understanding of what's happening. So, but when you've been in that position, you understand. And so, but if I would restart a new company tomorrow, I would probably have to do everything by myself. But as soon as the profit would come in, I would look at what is the most important other position that I can fulfill right now that would help me, and especially help my goal or the company's goal. And if it's an HR, then let's go. We go with an HR. And if it's sales, then it's sales. But you don't have to do it all. And then it comes down to 80% of someone else is better than 100% of you. You know.
So what are the repercussions? I first want to talk about what will happen to that person, this entrepreneur that has 10 to 50 employees.
Yep.
They try to do everything themselves. What are the repercussions of that? What are the downfalls to doing that versus what are the benefits when you let go of certain things?
When you keep everything, you're basically the bottleneck of your company. You cannot leverage any other people's knowledge. You're alone. You see it, like, I mean, here with all the great people that we have now, things are moving so fast, so easily, so fluently. Like, it's going very well.
You give your employees the resources, the autonomy, the freedom.
Yeah,
exactly.
The freedom is the most important. Yeah,
because they're experts in their field.
Yeah.
And although you need to be, you can't like totally let the gas off, but you let them be the lead.
Yeah, you end up just watching and being the guard of, if something's not going well, then you just bring the people on the right track as much as you can. But also it gives you, if let's say we go in the early stage of a new business, at the beginning, the entrepreneur, the creator, the founder needs to do everything, right? No choice.
Yeah, you're a solo person.
Exactly. Yeah. So eventually one of the mistakes that people do, they're going to focus more on the profit and the revenue. So they're going to hire someone to help them generate more business upfront. Or they're going to hire someone that could optimize the profit. But in reality, it's not all. I try to be cautious with what I'm saying because I want to nuance it. But at the same time, I want it to be general in the sense that it can fit to most companies, because I know there's so many contexts, there's so many different scenarios, and I'm not covering.
We can't list them all, right? No. We can only give context to what makes sense to our customers, exactly, to our business. So,
and someone's going to listen to this and be like, doesn't apply to my business, and it's fine. It's fine. I'm just saying that we're a consulting business, service business, and in this case, since the resources are really important. One of the main roles that we should have fulfilled at the beginning is HR. We did not. Took, I don't know, 7-8 years before we do that. But that's probably the one that we should have started with.
Mm.
It's that simple. If you're a business that most of their staff is doing sales, then maybe sales is your priority. It really depends. But the thing is, when you do that, when you go with this mindset, let's say the first 2 years, you've been doing so many different things by yourself and you started to get help, freelancers or full-time employees. Eventually, that those things you're delegating to someone are freeing time for you.
Mm. Right?
Where you should be putting that time somewhere else. That should be moving the needle towards your goal. So it's always keeping this like in the horizon. Like you're looking at your goal and I want to go there. And I cannot be moving the boat by myself. Now I need people to take one. Then I mm-hmm. need someone else to take two. Now what am I doing? Okay, maybe we can move faster. I'm going to work on, how do you call it?
A sail. And be the captain.
That's your role. That's the role of any funder,
mm-hmm.
to be a captain. And yeah.
You're so right, though, because it's like, it doesn't matter what size you are. Like, we all know that we all have the mindset like, oh, I need to hire employees because I want to grow this business. Yeah. I want to do more.
Yeah.
But then we don't give them 100% freedom to do their job necessarily, right? And that could be, like you said, because of a control, maybe a fear.
There's the getting the significance of looking busy and the fear of using your profit.
Hmm.
That's a big thing. Like you said yourself, that hustling over the weekend. You could probably find the money to hire a freelancer that would do some video editing, but you're like, you feel insecure about shrinking your own income
mm-hmm.
and your comfort and all of that, right?
So, I also enjoy editing too, for the most part.
Okay.
But you're right. No, it's true. There's a lot of things. If I want to grow really fast, and I learned this from you guys, that the quickest way to grow is to pool your money into your employees.
Yeah.
Because if you just pay myself, then I'm not really growing. Like, sure, I'll have a nice paycheck.
And it's okay. And it's okay if that's your goal. It depends what your goal is. Someone that, let's say someone has the goal to build a 100 people company with, I don't know, like $30 million revenue. But at 10, keeps whining about overly busy and not taking any action to sit to, like, you're just lying to yourself. And the problem is you end up in a position that your stress or insecurity of delegating is being covered by being so busy. And now it becomes an escapism and you like it. So
what can entrepreneurs, and this will fit for basically someone with employees really, right? Because if someone's starting out, they are doing everything themselves, but they can start hiring people.
So
but
not wantrepreneur, right?
I like that one. Yes, not a wantrepreneur, but somebody who has employees and what can they do to... Like, is there a way they can assess, like, okay, can I look at my business and say, am I doing this? Am I too involved in the process? Am I the bottleneck of my business?
Yeah.
Do you have any suggestions or have any ideas on how to help someone?
You need
with
to
them?
Keep in mind that your first business is really your main, I want to say it's you're at school, you're learning. I'm only 42 now, and there's things I'm learning about what I've been in the past. And I'm shaking my head like, how come I did not figure this out before? Here's the thing that really struck me lately is anything. And I'm saying this seriously, like anything that I dreamed of 15 years ago, 10 years ago, even 5 years ago of those things. When you say, when I reach this or when I have this, you create basically those rules where you're going to say, when I reach this income, then, you know, those if then. All of them were bullshit. All of them. And I'm not joking. I remember saying, when I make this amount of money, I'm going to pay this, pay that. I'm going to be much more free in my mind. And I remember that day driving to the office, and it struck me. And it's funny, sometimes you get a realization and you remember exactly where you were,
mm-hmm.
how was the temperature, the weather, everything. And I'm driving and it struck me. I'm like, is it just that? The same way as someone at the Olympic would get his gold medal, he's on the first step and be like, okay.
So you realized driving to the office that you reached that financial, you had that goal, you reached it.
And that was not such a big goal. But for me at the time, I thought it was like the big thing and that would change my life from A to Z, and it did not.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever I imagined at the time for any goals, for example, here's another goal. Here's another goal that I had that actually is bullshit. Many years ago, and Tony could tell you that, how busy I was for real.
Mm-hmm.
Because everyone in the company was coming to knock on my door every day. I had never had time. Every fucking hours, they would, hey, Raf. And to a point where it was getting overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
And so obviously, I'm like, if only I could have the right people to take care of all that bullshit. Guess what? It happened. No, I'm bored. I'm bored as fuck. I did not foresee that.
Mm-hmm.
Really, that's not what I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's the thing that I'm particularly interested in lately, in the past year, is all of those things that you think that you need, but really, it's not really what you're looking for. Like, for example, this example. If I only could have the right people to take care of that bullshit.
Yeah.
Really what I wanted is just some free time.
Yeah.
And not being bugged all the time.
Yeah.
And be able to focus on other things. Not being freed up completely.
Mm-hmm.
And now it happened.
From one extreme to the next.
Exactly. Or, for example, if you're like dreaming of reaching a certain type of income because it's going to give you the freedom of this and the other type of opportunities, maybe what you're looking for is just some peace of mind that you can easily get elsewhere. Like, we keep dreaming about situations that we're thinking that's what we need, but really we're looking for the feeling of what that thing we think will provide to us.
Yeah, there's always a goal behind a goal.
Yeah.
Right? Like, your goal of financial 100K, as an example, in my age group, a lot of people, that's their goal.
Yeah.
That's like the different tier, right? So 100K, my life is going to change. But really what you're saying is the goal behind the goal is that either a lifestyle or a security that, hey, if things hit the wall, I'm okay.
I'm a bit tired, so it's hard for me to explain clearly, but you just gave a good example. And let's take that example of 100K. Let's say someone's making 60K and I have a goal of 100K. So what is that person really looking for with that 100K? Is it for a new car, new buy a house? Like, and you try to understand the deeper meaning of what that 100K would bring to that person. Now, is there other ways? One of them is just the status.
Mm-hmm.
I find, just to feel that, hey, I made it.
I'm a big shot.
Which is bullshit, because it's not bringing you happiness whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that person is overspending at 60 and could still buy a house, could still buy a car. The same way applies to someone, like, for a long time in my very early, and it's funny, when we were in a situation that the business could not pay us very well, then I dreamed about everything that money would bring, right? You dream about what you don't have. And I had my wall in my office where I had a nice car, a nice watch, a nice plane, nice cabin. And I had that kind of vision board that I ended up just shredding a few years later because I didn't want any of those.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and, but let's say someone dreams to have a private jet, a business, a successful business owner dream of having a private jet. What really that person's looking for? What is the need? Sometimes the need is really justified because that person's traveling a lot. That's going to be easier. It's going to save a lot of time. Can call, get his plane ready for an hour later and get to where that person needs to go. Or in some cases, if not most cases, it's just to brag about it and have nice pictures. And you know what? When you're in that plane, you're alone. It's not going to fulfill much. Mm. And it's there are the ways to brag and get, because it's a legitimate need. Like seriously, like being able to be proud and brag about something is a legitimate need. And no one can be judgmental about that. So let's say that's one of your need. There's so many different services that exist that you can have a private jet. You can actually buy, there's companies offering like buying a piece of a private jet with a bunch of other guys, for example. Or you can rent some type of hours of flight per year. There's so many, and you're going to still get your pictures, but internally, it's not yours. Mm-hmm. But no one gives a crap about it. So I think when you dream about something, you really have to be, and it's hard. It's hard because I never figured it out before my 40. But you need to look at what is the feeling I'm looking for? What is the real thing I'm looking for? Oh, but I want a freedom of, okay, but besides that, you need to basically make it the tree and go down, you
know, right,
branch by branch and try to go to the root cause of you wanting to have 100K. That's it.
It's such a good example. And like you can put into practical sense, like, you know, fitness. Yeah. A lot of people want, and this is, again, we're talking about entrepreneurship, but for the example to what you just shared, what's the goal of you getting a six pack? Is it because you want to run a marathon, or is it because you want to look good? Right. Yeah. So look at the real root, as to what you said, of why you want that thing.
Let's talk about that. I'm training quite.
No, I don't. Show me.
Quite often. No. But I really try to take care of my health. I have two reasons. The first one is I want to feel good. So definitely that's why I'm actually building almost a spa in my backyard with the sauna and the hot tub and the cold bath and all of that. Other than that, I'm working out to feel good as well, but indirectly, it's starting to sculpt my shape. I'm a man. I want to look good. So if you ask me why I want a six pack, it's definitely not to feel good. I want girls to look at me. I'm just being honest.
Maybe a few men.
I don't care. And I definitely want to be looked at. And I have no issue with that. And people who are judgmental for people with ego desire are just being jealous, because we all have that need. Mm-hmm. It's bullshit. We all have that need. So who cares?
Well, I really like, I've been here for, it's coming up 2 years in the summer, and getting to know you and Tony are very honest guys. Like, you guys are really honest with yourselves, I find. When I come from the sales industry, and there's a lot of fronting, a lot of bullshitting, and a lot of, I wouldn't say dishonesty, but a lot of fronting, I think, is the worm. They put a facade, right? And you and Tony do a really good job of being honest with yourselves, what you want, cutting through the BS, and being real. And that's what's, I think, what's missing when entrepreneurship and the word comes with sometimes a negative connotation to it.
You know, lately I saw a post from a company, and no, sorry, it's a post from a few employees of that company saying whatever benefit they got lately. And
from the company.
From the company.
Gotcha.
And knowing the company, I'm just shaking my head, because there's an agenda behind it. You can feel that there's an agenda behind it. You can feel that they would not do that to you if they would not benefit from it. Conversely, the people here that have been with us, like you, for more than a year, they already know that whenever we do something, that's just because we want to do it.
Yeah, we don't really advertise the internal stuff you guys do.
Never.
Yeah.
Never, because it's too easy to look at it and be like, okay, they did that for that reason. And we did that many times, you know it. So, yeah, I forgot how we got to that subject, but that's definitely an interesting subject. But
I think that why it comes up is because why I brought the honesty thing about entrepreneurship is that you're giving advice to entrepreneurs about looking yourself in the mirror and saying, okay, why am I busy? Am I busy because I want to be busy, or am I busy because I actually am, I have to do these things in my business?
Yeah.
And it, from what I'm learning from this conversation from you, it's, I'm realizing that, and what you realized is that there are many things that you don't have to do every single day. Like, you have to have oversight. You have to know where it's going, be the captain, not be the rower and the sweeper and the sailor, you know.
But you know what? Sometimes the captain has to go take the broom and and sweep somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay. You just need to be honest with yourself and say, am I enjoying deeply in my core to be busy? Mm-hmm. Am I liking the feeling I'm getting out of it? Am I bragging about it? If you're bragging about being busy, bragging can also be like you're just, I don't know, you're at the gym in the morning, you say, oh man, I'm so busy. Mm-hmm. You're kind of bragging about it. You're kind of looking for sympathy, empathy. You're looking for this attention, right? Mm-hmm. In many cases, of course, it's no choice. They have to be busy, you know, because they're stuck. They don't have the right business partner, or they don't have the money. They will never have the money. They basically bought themselves a job. That happens, totally. But if you have a growing company and you keep being busy, you're just full of shit. You're lying to yourself. You're completely lying to yourself. You're enjoying the money you're generating and you're enjoying being busy. But it, if you're, okay, and only if your goal is to keep growing, then yeah. If your goal is, if you're fine with your company at this, at that level, and you're fine being busy, and you're fine with the income, and you're okay with everything else, and you don't have a specific goal of reaching a certain level with, within the company, then that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm being a little bit judgmental on the, in the cases that someone has the money, has a goal, but don't want to do it.
Or says they can't do it, but reality.
Yeah, I can't. I'm too busy. I'm too busy because no one can do what I'm doing.
No one can take the trash out like you, as you said.
Yeah. You know, that's bullshit.
What's that thing that Brian Tracy said about the three things? Do you remember?
Yeah, that's a thing that I agree and I disagree with. The three things. It's basically that you should only be focusing your time, your precious time as a business owner, on your top three things, the top three things that will bring the most value to your business. Here's my problem. One of my three things is annoying as fuck. So I cannot agree with it, you know, because if I would do this, I would just feel miserable. So yeah, I mean,
it's not a perfect, it's never perfect, but I like what he said. And you're right. Like, if you don't like it, then you should get someone to do it. Like, finances, like, I just have no interest in doing accounting. But
let me clarify something. When I say one of the three things is annoying, I would say we're 2021 now, so I really started in the business like in 2003, 2005-ish. Like 2002 to 2005, I was working remotely. Then we opened an office in 2005. So when I say that one of the three things is annoying, is after all of those years. If you're in the first 10 years, you can just swallow your pills and do it. That's going to be fine, because you have more, you have another motive, like you have another goal, and you're just focusing on that. In this case now, then when the company is going very well on its own, and people are doing their job very well, it's hard to get that drive. So to do the things that are super annoying. So I'm just being honest. And so, yeah, the top three things is of what the, your company would benefit the most of, that's where you should put your time on. The rest you should delegate.
Mm-hmm.
And this is particularly true in the first couple of years of your company. That is extremely true, actually.
If someone's watching this, listening to this, is there anything else you can think of to share with them about entrepreneurship? Could be about web development, anything that we discussed today?
Like I said, I feel that, and it's true because I feel this is true in both life and business, that your first business is really where you learn everything. I mean, not everything, but 80% of business, let's say. Or your first 40 years is your life school. And the next 40 years is when you're going to apply what you've learned and keep learning, but enjoy what you've learned. If you go with this mindset saying that I'm going to be learning so many things and I need to be flexible, I need to adapt, I need to correct myself, I need to fix, I need to learn and adjust and just be like putty. You need to be, how do you say, malleable?
Oh,
I forgot the name.
Mold? You want to mold yourself?
Yeah. You need to be able to mold it all the time, mm-hmm. and change it all the time and have this humility. To say you're wrong when you're wrong, and that's one of the problems. But it's a problem in most cases, but it's not. It's a benefit in some other cases. If you take the example of any extremely successful billionaires, they were very cocky, and they had one goal. They won, but it's exceptions to me. I'm not an exception. You need to have the humility to adjust yourself and learn and say, what can I adjust? What can I do?
The last thing I'll say is that, and this is just something I've noticed, again, what you and Tony do, is that you and Tony do a lot of review. And I say review is that there's many people that do execute, but it's, in my opinion, just as important to review what you've done, what can be improved, and look at like, wow, I'm so busy that I don't even have time to enjoy myself, my business, and to review and say, what can I hire someone to do this side so I can free up more time so I can focus on these three things or five things, whatever. And that review is what I've noticed you and Tony do consistently.
Yeah.
And that's something that I think is important. So don't just like planning and doing is important, but reviewing either monthly or quarterly or.
But you see, but that's the thing that for me doesn't work when it's scheduled.
When it's scheduled.
I don't like that framework of, okay, at 6 in the morning, I'm going to wake up and I'm going to write out my goals and do that. And have this, as much as I like the routine, I dislike the routine. It's weird, I know. Routine helps for me, but whenever I have to or I have something scheduled, it stresses me. So if I would say every month I need to review my goal list or I need to review my what we've accomplished every quarter, I don't like that. To me, that's something you should just be doing all the time and be conscious of doing all the time. If you're able
to. But the important thing is that you do it. Right. Yeah. Whether someone likes to schedule it or not, you guys consistently do it and you don't like to schedule it. That's cool.
And we're 8 billion people on the planet. So there's 8 billion people that have different DNA.
Yeah.
So what works for me or doesn't work for me, it's not the same for you. And if you take V, for example, she scheduled every single minute in the day and she likes it.
Mm-hmm.
I dislike it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's me and it works for her. So you need to find what works for you. If you don't, if you're not the type of person that's going to wake up at 4 a.m. and go for a cold shower and work out and and routine this, routine that, because not only because it's hard, but it's just not possible for you, then that's not everyone is a Dwayne Johnson and not everyone is a Elon Musk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true.
I think it's Jeff Bezos that actually doesn't wake up with an alarm clock and doesn't go to the office before like 10 or 11 a.m.
You know? Really? Wow.
Something like that. I heard about that story, but if it works for him. Some other guys, they basically, I remember reading about a business guy that had such a strict routine in the morning and until 10 or 11 a.m., no one could disturb the guy because he's focusing on his best energy of the morning into reflecting. And yeah, I'm getting anxiety just thinking about it. I don't like that.
Because I scheduled this meeting with you, so were you stressed out before this?
No, I mean, because I was walking this morning around after my workout. It was probably around 7:20, and I'm like, fuck, I would be ready now. Not in 2 hours and a half. That's now that I'm ready. I'm pumped.
Yeah. I would love to come work out with you again. And then we just like film right after. You know,
that would be crazy. because that energy. Because
I've seen you on that high on the after your workout, you feel great, right?
And this and today we're doing this. It's a few weeks. I'm postponing it, and I really wanted to do it. Although I woke up at 3 a.m. so just because I was not able to sleep, and so I'm a bit tired, but I think the message is still there. And you asked me about my last advice, but there's so many, but one of them is just whenever you feel this is what I want, you really need to chunk it down to the root cause of you wanting to have that. Mm-hmm. Because now you're focusing on one result, neglecting everything around. What would that cause? So for some people, it would be like, I want to have many women, but that person's forgetting that he's married, he has kids, that would screw up so many things. Yeah, he's gonna have a lot of women, but it's not that's gonna create other problem. But yeah. you need to chunk it down. If it's financial goals, business goals, things goals, for example, a car, watch, why do you want them?
Material stuff. Yeah.
And why do you want them? And let's say if we just play a game quickly, let's say you say, I want a Rolex. Cool. You want a Rolex. But why? Because they're nice. Okay. Why are they nice? Oh, because they're green and they have gold around. Okay. Mm-hmm. But that's cool. And why? And you ask yourself why like 4 or 5 times, and you're going to slowly get to the root cause because I'm going to look nice with it. Oh, okay. So you want to look nice. And why do you want to look nice? Because I want people to acknowledge that I'm successful.
I like that practice. That's a great takeaway for any entrepreneur at any level to ask themselves why 4 or 5 times on what they want. I want a Lamborghini. Why? Because it's not, ask yourself why, and then you get to the root because I want to show my success.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think that's a good practical advice to give to entrepreneurs.
You gave the example of people in your age group saying that they have the goal of making 100K. And I was giving the example of the one at 60. So why? Because I'm going to be able to buy a house or buy this. Okay, but why do you want a house? Mm-hmm. That's a question that when I ask people, why do you want a house? They don't know why. Mm-hmm. They don't know what to answer. It's because the society got you to believe that you need to buy a house, but you don't need to buy a house. If you read the book, I Will Teach You to Be Rich, I forgot his name.
I'll put it in the description.
And he actually explained how it's not a good investment, actually, a house. It's not a bad investment, but it's not a good investment. And you're actually going to make more money by renting than by buying a house. So now, I mean, in my case, in my personal case, I want to have a house because I need my backyard. I need my sauna. I need my cold bath. I need my hot tub and my Zen type. I want it. That's that I cannot really do it in the place rental. That I'm. Yeah. But yeah, when you ask yourself a few times why, like you really get to the bottom of why you want it.
Mm-hmm. And why is a powerful question. It's a very powerful question.
Yeah. Yeah, but sometimes we really underestimate it.
Yep.
The first why is bullshit. You know, why you want why you want 100 grand? Because I want more money. Cool. At that level, you're going to increase you're going to go from, I don't know, like 28% tax rate to 37%. And you're really going to have just $800 or $1,000 more a month net.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's true. I'm just pulling those numbers out of my head. But then you say, really?
Well, yeah, you get taxed more, right? So it's true. I mean,
change bracket.
Yeah, you're changing. You're taking. Yeah, you're going to be making more money, but like you'll be giving up more money at the same time.
Yeah, yeah. So in the end, when you ask that type of question to someone that has this type of goal, you're screwing up a little bit their goal because they did not do the math.
Then I'll just make more money.
Yeah. Okay. What are you going to do with it?
Yeah.
Right now, where do you spend your money?
Camera equipment.
Okay, that's an investment to me. But
that is an investment.
But if someone is gambling or smoking or going to a restaurant every single day, you're just going to spend more in a restaurant.
Yeah, it's true. Jeez.
You know, and you're just going to spend more in other bullshit and gamble even more. So money goals are very dangerous.
So I like this advice. I think the thing that someone listening or watching should take away from this is to really look at the root of why you want something and how to get there. Is ask yourself just why several times, 4 or 5 times, until you get to the reason, the real reason why, the root of why you want that goal. And to let go of the idea that you need to be busy and really focus on the things that will make you reach that goal.
If you take the example quickly of, let's say, someone that has a business and is overly busy with something and say, why can't you delegate it? Because no one can do it better than me. But why nobody can do it better than you? Oh, because I'm really good at it. But why are you really good? Because I did spend the time and I've learned it. Oh, so nobody did that in the world? Like, there's mm-hmm. always something you're going to get to the bottom of as by asking those whys. And it's funny, when you do the practice for yourself in your mind, you auto-answer your own question.
Yeah.
It's so weird.
I think we all know this information, but we don't put it into practice because it's like, what you're saying is not like I've never heard before, but the way you say and the examples you give, it makes it really hit home for me as someone who wants some of those goals, and then make me think like, okay, why is that for me? And it's different for everybody, like you said.
Yeah.
Everyone, some people, they need that to brag about it and to look good. And that's okay. We're not judging here. It's, you just have to understand what your need is, what your why is.
Lately, we kind of did that unconsciously, this practice, Tony, and I think Steve was in the room as well. But I was just expressing that I don't like me not being busy. I was at my desk and I didn't know too much what to do, and I'm waiting for everything else, like the website and the application that we're developing, and I'm in waiting. So I'm at my desk and we're having this conversation, and I started to kind of complain about being free, but after like 2 or 3 whys, it really went out and it came out, and I just out of the blue said to Tony, because I'm feeling guilty. Then why are you feeling guilty? Because I don't feel that I'm bringing enough value. I don't feel that I'm providing enough. That I'm working enough. That I'm so. Mm. But honestly, without a few whys, we would have never got to the bottom of that. And
I'll get you busy. We'll make some.
But the thing is, I need to enjoy it.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
But talking with you, I enjoy it. So
thanks.
So you can keep me busy this way. That's fine.
Any last words before
I said about like 20,000 last words, so I think you're good. I think you're good.
Thank you guys so much for watching and listening. And this was a great conversation with Raf, just about the power of why and understanding your truth and getting to the root of why you want to do these things? Why are you feeling busy? So this was a really impactful episode, and I really appreciate you guys listening and watching. And let us know, send us comments about what you want to hear next, and just share this podcast.
And I'm going to be following the comments on this subject, because I'm sure there's going to be some questions.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be watching to answer those questions.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much. Have a good one.